Health, Dr. Joe Pashlar held a media briefing this morning at which there were two announcements. One is that as of the 20th of October, children between the ages of 12 and 17 will be able to get a COVID vaccine. They'll get, for the moment, one dose of the Pfizer vaccine, and they will not have to get permission from their parents so to do. And the other announcement was a limited rollout of booster shots under certain very specific conditions. The Acting Director General at the Department of Health, Dr. Nicholas Crisp, joins us now. Nicholas, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, John. Afternoon to your listeners.
A WhatsApp from a listener says, the world is under mass psychosis when 12 to 17-year-olds can decide for themselves whether to take a one-dose Pfizer, of which a second dose can cause myocarditis. And on the FDA's list of adverse effects a year ago, it features multi-organ inflammatory syndrome in children. We've gone stark raving mad. I don't agree with that, and obviously the Department of Health doesn't either.
Yeah, sure. And neither do the scientists who advise us and the clinicians who advise us. And there's obviously lots of advice that's available all over the world because several countries already vaccinate two doses of Pfizer. We've adopted a slightly more conservative route by saying, well, let's collect some more information over the next 6 weeks. But in the meantime, allow the many parents and many children who wish to be vaccinated to do so.
Why Pfizer? I mean, I understand the one dose for the moment, and second dose, let's wait until, because there have been some reports of myocarditis following the second dose of Pfizer. But why not one dose of J&J? Is there international evidence that Pfizer is better for younger people than Johnson & Johnson is?
So we use only two vaccines at the moment, Johnson & Johnson and Pfizer, and only Pfizer is registered for use in children. Johnson & Johnson hasn't yet applied for it to be used for under the age of 18.
Okay, so in terms of regulation, you would not have been able to make that choice.
Yeah, that's correct.
Okay, and the evidence of some myocarditis in after that second dose. I mean, again, I know that conventional science says that you are at a higher risk of myocarditis as a 16-year-old if you get COVID than if you have two doses of the Pfizer vaccine. But how carefully was this issue canvassed?
Well, it's there's been quite a lot of research done, and the numbers of children who get what's reported as transient self-healing myocarditis, in other words, doesn't need treatment, and it resolves on its own. And so I spoke to some of the clinicians and said, well, what is actually being reported? And they said to me, sometimes the children don't even know, and it's picked up on just a general examination, and sometimes they get a slight tachycardia, which means their heart's beating a little bit faster, and they'll report to their parents, my heart's beating very fast, and then when they get examined, this is what they pick up, and it heals on its own shortly after. The numbers are extremely small. But it's better to collect data from around a larger part of the world with, more experience before we go into that choice for ourselves. There are chances of side effects from just about any medicine you take. In fact, there's side effects from some foodstuffs. But, they are so small that one takes the choice that the protection is better than the potential harm that might happen in very, very rare cases.
And you made it clear at the news conference, or it was made clear at the news conference this morning, that 12-year-olds, 15-year-olds, 17-year-olds don't have to have their parents' permission. They can go off to a vaccination site by themselves and get vaccinated. What about the other way around? Is a parent entitled to force a 17-year-old or a whatever old in this age category to be vaccinated?
So I think the answer to both is yes. So the Children's Act, Section 129, allows and has for years allowed children to get medical treatment on their own cognizance. And they do that to access family planning. They do that to access all kinds of other medical interventions and treatment, including operations, by the way, under circumstances where the health professionals believe that they are mature enough to make that decision on their own, it is allowed. But a parent is still the parent, or a guardian is still a guardian under circumstances. So, this is something that's potentially fraught, and I'm not a lawyer, so I won't try and be one. But I think that, normally if a parent would like to have their children vaccinated and the child refuses, it's quite hard to drag off a 17-year-old to go and get vaccinated, and that's something you sort out in the family. But the law does provide for a child to be vaccinated under their own decision, and the law also does allow a parent to take a child for treatment and tell them that they need to have that treatment.
And Nicholas, Nikki also contacted me to say it's crazy to try and vaccinate at least 50% of the 6 million children in this cohort, because that means they go into their school vaccinations with a sense of I can do whatever I like, and the potential for them to behave in ways that increase the risk of infection and transmission, that those rise.
Well, that's obviously a concern that we've also thought about. But there are a number of children who will head off to studies abroad, and they will not be allowed to go and do that if they're not vaccinated. So immediately after completing the exams, some children take gap years and they go abroad. Some children are going directly to studies abroad, and if they are not vaccinated, they won't be able to do so. So for the older children, that is an issue. We've also had families where the parents work abroad, and they've not been able to go with their children because in some countries it's a requirement that the children are vaccinated. So the world's countries have adopted different strategies, and it's impacted on people around the country. But I think the bottom line is that we would like everybody to have immunity. Children do get sick from COVID. They don't get as sick as adults, but we have had deaths amongst children who did get very sick, even very, very young children. So there comes a time when one must offer the vaccine. We do have vaccines available at the moment. So it seemed that this is an appropriate time now to start opening up. Obviously, we're concerned that we want people to wear masks and take all the other precautions as well.
And then the booster shots.
Yeah.
Immune compromised on the recommendation of a doctor. I mean, I'm 66. I had a heart attack in May this year. So if I were to go to my doctor and ask her to write a letter to the Department of Health, there would be a good chance that I would be eligible for a booster shot and would get one. Or how's this going to work?
So if you've had a heart transplant, you would qualify, because there are very specific immunocompromised patients, those who've had solid organ transplants, or those who've got tumors, and those who've got leukemia and such diseases. So there's a list.
A very, very small list.
It's quite a specific list.
Yeah.
At this stage, it does not include HIV. There's a separate advisory around people who have not responded to their HIV treatment, and that we will bring out later. So the Department of Health will issue a circular which will go into the public and the private sectors to advise people on which are these conditions, and that's called additional doses. It's not booster doses. It's for people who have not been able to make immunity, and there's a good case for them to get an additional dose on top of whatever they had. Booster doses are a whole separate issue that happens months later.
Dr. Nicholas Crisp, Acting Director General of the Department of Health, thank you.